Well, greetings to you once again in Jesus' name, and here we are at the end of at least my time to share the Word of God with you, and I have been very blessed, I want to say, just going back over some of these things and learning, trying to learn from God as we go, and I believe God is speaking to my heart, and I hope He is yours too. I trust that He is because that's just the way He works. Not because of the work of a man, but because of His work in our hearts. And I am grateful for the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. I do take it seriously. I hope that that God will use this to be a tremendous blessing and an inspiration in your life every day as you call in. And as you go to the Word yourself, it's a blessing. And I hope that is what is the end result, is that all of us would come to God in His Word for a daily inspiration, every day, without fail. So here we are looking at the wrapping all this up, and I know we've talked about sacrifice and offerings to God, and I want to conclude with just a thought, and it comes out of Proverbs 15, a very practical book. I'm going to read four verses out of here. It says, Proverbs 15 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." You really got to meditate on that just for a moment to think about, okay, it's easy to kind of get this in your head, but to make it work in your daily life, it's another thing. I think it's so easy for us not to do this, but "a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." God sees it all. He knows what's going on. He knows how to deal with the affairs of man. Verse 4, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." This is some powerful, I'd like you to really meditate on this, because it's just words that can go in and out so easily, but if you meditate on, think about it. I'd like to really key in on verse 4, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." I know God is going to challenge me just even today. He always does, and I appreciate that. He's going to give me opportunity today to use a soft answer, to also have a wholesome tongue, one that's not abusive and saying things I ought not to say. I'm going to read another verse here in Proverbs 18 and verse 21. And it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So we have opportunity with our tongue to either kill or to bring life. Living words of, now this would be speaking the Word of God, of course. But we have the option. That's the key here. We have an option. We can use our tongue to bring forth death, or to have words of life. And again, I want to really emphasize, the words of life has to be the scripture. It can't be anything from our own doing. But the words of death, we certainly have that power in our tongue to do. "And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So if you love death, and you love destruction, those kinds of things, your tongue is going to follow right along. It'll, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That little tongue there, it's going to go. And so there's no neutral ground here, I don't believe. You're either going to speak life or death. And that's just the two options. There's really not any middle ground. So today, I just encourage you and challenge you, use your tongue to produce good things, wholesome things, words of life, and not death. We can really do some damage with our tongue. I want to go back to that verse 4 in chapter 15. "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life." And I think about There may be other places in Scripture, but I'm thinking about a tree of life that we read about in Garden of Eden. When God created man, he created the whole world and everything that's in it. And you know the story. I don't need to go back over that. But man fell and transgressed against God. And now God had to kick him out of the Garden of Eden. That was his, that was the paradise, it says. And that was God's original plan. And man fouled it up. He got in the way. And God knew that was going to happen. He made provision before the world was even begun, which is so amazing to me. But that's who we serve. We serve a God that he's able to see everything before it even happens. And he makes preparation for it, which, wow, that's just, I'm impressed. I am totally impressed with God. He has it all together. Anyways, I'm going to take you to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. It says, "And the Lord God said," now they had eaten from the tree that was forbidden. Adam and Eve both partook of that. They ate the fruit that was forbidden. And God, you remember God told them, you can have the fruit off of anything in this garden here, but this tree here, you have to leave it alone. And they disobeyed. Okay, so now it says, "And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims." And cherubims are angels, a created being. So he placed in the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. This is so significant. God has protected the tree of life. And you know why? Because if man would have taken of that, he would live forever. I see there is such typology here. It is God's plan from the beginning, the tree of life. You remember what Jesus said? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me." That's what Jesus said. You can't any way partake of the Father and his kingdom without going through Jesus. He is that tree of life. He claimed himself to be the bread of life that gives life eternal. I see a parallel here that is so beautiful. And God is not going to let somebody accidentally go and partake of that tree. You have to come to God on his terms. You have to come to God the way he says, he demands. And it's not that hard, but a stubborn, rebellious heart just won't go there. But here is that tree of life that was covered up by a cherubim, was standing in the way with a sword of fire in every direction. Nobody's going to get there unless they come through the right way, Jesus Christ. And, to me, that is just such a wonderful illustration of the wonder work of God. He wants people to come to him. He wants people to have eternal life, but you have to do it the right way. You can't make your own way. You've got to come on his terms, to his place there, right to that tree of life. And then I believe that sword that's there, it slays us and we die. Spiritually, we come in, it's a typology again, but we die. We die to ourself and to our own pleasures, our own desires. We lay it down. We give that whole burnt offering to God. And then he brings resurrection. He raises us up with Christ Jesus to life eternal. If that's not the best news in the world, I can't think of anything else that would be. This is wonderful, wonderful news. And I trust that some of you listening have already experienced this. If you have not, come to God on his terms and keep coming to God as a living sacrifice, dead to sin, but alive to God. May God bless you as you seek him with all of your heart.